You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, if you would. Chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord. Our Father and God, set apart these moments as we open thy word. Help us understand. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In looking, keeping in mind, before time, God, in his holy, happy way, is going to glorify himself. And in doing so, he's going to go and provide an awesome picture of his saving grace, of his character, his conduct, his most holy person. And therefore, the Lamb of God is slain before the foundation of the world, before any creation of angels or anybody. God, that was his plan. That's how it's going to go. And so we had Adam and Eve come along, jumping quickly. And Adam and Eve come along, and they have a choice. They choose wrongly. They choose. God, that was all in the plan. God knew they would. And then God provided a wonderful solution, the Lamb of God slain. God had a solution to the thing that would happen, even their sin. And therefore they knew good and evil when they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And therefore they knew what is it like to be without God, to be without good. No God, no good. What is it like to be like that? Evil. The absence of light, darkness, the absence of death, no life. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so Israel comes along to represent God's wonderful person. And in doing so, Israel, like us humans, like all of us, like Adam and Eve, they make a negative decision, and they choose not to believe God, trust in God. So when we come to Isaiah, we share together in Isaiah chapter 1, and we're not going to take time to read verse 6. The sole of your foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither have bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, you're in terrible, 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 terrible shape. And Israel, that's the condition as a nation. And verse 18, remember, they were told to settle out of court, and they didn't want to let us reason together. But they didn't want to settle out of court. They wanted to push it all the way to the end. So that's what they're going to do. And in the process of doing that, going down that corridor, they're going to go. Now, how are they going to go and when? In the light of God, in the light of good, in the light of light, good, light, life. How are they going to go? Chapter 5, you remember. Chapter 5, there's one way to go. And you will note in chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Turn everything upside down. Since we don't know good, we don't know God, we know evil. So let's call evil good and good evil. Since we only know evil, the absence of God, let's just call that good. That's the maneuver. So once we do that as a people, as a person, then all that's happening around me isn't because I'm not looking for God to be missing. I'm not looking for good. I'm looking for us humans to act in a human way, to be human, killing, coming, going, doing what we do. I'm going to look for humans to be human. That's what I'm going to do. Now, having said that, that's us humans. Here's Israel going down the corridor of time. Now, in the process, God promises them a wonderful, 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 wonderful help, to be a help to them. In Isaiah chapter 40, you remember, chapter 40, sliding directly, if I can, to verse 31. 40 and 31, Israel is going to call evil good, good evil. And therefore, but God is going to be gracious, and he's looking for whosoever that would believe. And the believing heart, he would do a wonderful thing. Verse 31, Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing for the heart that will trust me. In the midst of evil, I'm going to be the person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to know God's good, God's saving grace, God's wonderful everything. God was going to be God in his awesome goodness as God to them. But evil, I'm going to call evil evil, evil good and good evil. I'm going to turn it upside down. Therefore, all the warnings, all the notices, Isaiah 53, and all that is said about God, God's going to do a wonderful thing and die on the cross, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. That's a wonderful thing you're going to do, God. Uh-huh. All right. But, and then God warns over and over again. He tells them his wonderful grace is there. You need to trust him like in Isaiah 40, and God would be an awesome God to you. But, so Isaiah 53 comes and gives a direct statement of Christ going to the cross. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness, glory. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We have no... Now, yes, God's going to die on the cross to save us. But we're not going to see it that way. We're not going to see it that way. No, they weren't going to see it. They weren't going to see it that way. Therefore, God, warning, giving all kinds of clues, all kinds of information to help them understand, but they didn't want to understand. Zechariah in chapter 9, you recall. And in Zechariah chapter 9, picking up, if I may, verse 9 directly. Here's God's wonderful working, outworking in the future. And in the process, he makes a note, a special note, verse 9, of Christ, Isaiah 53. God has to go to the cross in Christ, and he has to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Micah 5:2. Now, so here's Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That's who's going to come. That's a warning. How is he going to, how is the, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman born in Bethlehem of Judea, how are we going to see him when he comes? He's going to announce himself in a most wonderful way, riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. That's what he's going to do. But we don't want to believe. We aren't going to believe, but hang on. Now, over to Luke and chapter 13. And in Luke and chapter 13, picking up, if I may, chapter 13, verse 34. Now, remember now, this is approximately 3 months. So here's December, January, and then we're going to go all the way 3 months to the crucifixion, March, April. So here we are, about 3 months before his crucifixion. Now, what did he tell? In the light of Herod, in the light of what he was doing, he warning about Herod, picking up if I can, I'll read verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. I must finish the course. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, he's warning them, I'm going to come riding colt of an ass, and what are you going to do? You're going to go and crucify me. That's what you're going to do. And in the middle of verse 34, oh, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings, and you wouldn't do it. Hang on to that. I would have been all of this. Adam and Eve get saved wonderfully, and they are blessed. Abel is killed because he's saved, and Cain kills him because he is saved. And Cain and humanity, Genesis flood, it goes bad, big time, big time. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we get down the corridor of time, God would have been wonderfully wait upon the Lord, exchange. He would take the weak and make them strong. He would do wonderful things. But they aren't taking advantage of it. They aren't taking advantage. Sliding over, if I can, to Luke and chapter 19. And in Luke, chapter 19, picking up, if I may. Now, he's entering the city, and like you're entering the city now, this is the last week. This is on a Saturday. Enter the city. And as he comes, I'll read verse 38, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Verse 41, and when he was come near, looking down at the whole city from the Garden of Gethsemane, looking at the city, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. That isn't just weeping, that's sobbing, deep, penetrating sobbing. That's what he's doing. Yep. Wow. He wasn't just crying, sobbing. Wow. That's what he did. Why? Verse 42, saying, if, and it is true, if thou hadst known, but you didn't, even thou, at the least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They're there. I would have been to you. You dummies, you're going and keeping, calling evil good, good evil, darkness light, light dark. You're turning everything upside down. You can't catch what's happening because you've got it all wrong. Verse 42. And if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And for the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. I came to be a help and to rescue you and to deliver you, to care, and you refused. And because you refuse, Titus is going to come 40 years later and level the city, and you're all going to be leveled. Titus is going to take and plow the city, as it were, and make it flat like Jericho. Not like Jericho. Only God can do Jericho like man can do. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if they just knew the time, here I am, I'm here to save you, and you've never taken advantage that I told you from day one, Adam and Eve, that I would help and keep you and honor the wonderful thing I'm going to make happen when I die on Calvary's cross. All of the benefits I'm going to help you know ahead of time to know my wonderful presence. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, if I can. Now, in the light of that, Matthew chapter 21. And you read in Matthew chapter 21 the same account, the entrance into the city on Saturday, approximately, into the city. And there he comes. And we did that. We read it, and here's the account again. And the point, as you read all that, in the process, and verse 9. And the multitude that went before, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who are you? Who are you? After 3 1/3 years, he told who he was. Who are you? Who are you? I don't know. Who are you? He's going to keep coming into the city. But who are you? Now, do they know? Yeah. They knew, but they didn't know. Go with me, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And you will note Matthew 13, going, if I may, in verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simeon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now what did they know? They knew. They knew him. It wasn't a question they knew him. They certainly knew him. They knew him. They got after him, How can you be who you are? How can you say what you say? Go with me over to John. John chapter 10, among other places, to see it. John chapter 10. And you will note, okay, John chapter 10, verse 33. And the Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew that. So they knew. It wasn't a question they didn't know. They just didn't want to see. They put evil for good and good for evil. Darkness for light and light for darkness. They didn't intend to see. They didn't to say, what is that? Everything he said, it would be the opposite to them. They wouldn't believe. They should believe. God would do wonderful things. But they weren't conscious of it. No, they were just rejecting it. Constantly rejecting what he would do. Even though he demonstrated with his healing thousands, like that, feeding. I mean, that's impressive. That's impressive. You never hear, but they never talk about it. They never think about that. They just do what they do. They just wanted to make him king so they had more of it. But they had no thought. He was trying to tell them that his presence in their life, in and by their life, if they would believe, would be wonderful. Even on planet Earth, even in this time of darkness, it would be wonderful for them to be able to survive, succeed, and go down the corridor of time successfully. But they didn't do it. Back over to Matthew. And Matthew 23. In Matthew chapter 23, now this is 2 days later, he enters the city, Matthew 21. The next day, Monday, what's going to happen? He enters the city again. Each time he comes to the city. This time, last time, he looked at the city and he wept over it because they failed to understand the advantage they had. This time he's in the city, again, chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 31. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill, and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city. Verse 35, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed from the earth, upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon thee, this generation. Verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered the children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and you would not. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. I keep telling you, you had it. You wouldn't do it. Hang on. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till all shall you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over, if I can, to Luke 21. God is going to say, remember what God has warned them. He's warned them that when you reject me, you want darker to get dark. You want darkness to get darker. And Titus is coming to level the city, and you can't stop him. You rejected. I told you I was there, but you didn't want to. And if you don't receive good from God and by God, you're going to have evil, and Titus is coming. Now, over to Luke, and in chapter 21. And picking up, if I may, and 21, oh, in verse 20. 21, 20. And when you shall see, this is Titus, when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. I told you it's coming. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For, why not? For these be the days of vengeance. All these things shall be that are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck. To those days there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon his people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Remember, have Assyria, Babylonian, and now Titus. And to be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Wow. Now, God, you're going to let all of that happen. And it's going to be. It's going to be. Now, having said that, and we have light, and hang on now, see, a little side light, maybe, over to John, just to remind you, John chapter 13. In the upper room, you'll remember, before, in the upper room, Judas was out the door, he went. He was going to go and betray the Lord. He had no interest in repentance at all. He just went out the door, and he was disappointed that things he didn't, Jesus wasn't made king, Jesus is crucified shamefully, prison, death, and who knows, we're going to be with him. We're all going to die. Remember, they all thought that. We're going to go to prison and die. So Judas went out the door. Interesting. God makes a little note. Remember it. Chapter 13, verse 30. And then and then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night, dark. You left the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you went out the door to darkness. And you're going to do the work of darkness. And they're going to crucify me. You went out the door and you went out into the dark. When I leave God's word and God's the light, Jesus Christ is the light. When I leave that, I go out into darkness. I go out into what? Only the words and wickedness of the world. I go out into darkness. If I leave the light, Judas went out into the dark. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and you know, without going there in Corinthians and that, what do you know? The preaching, verse chapter 1, verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing, what? Foolishness. Foolishness. That's what it is. It doesn't make sense. The cross, the shamefulness of the cross, they knew not. And then tie that again with Luke 19:44, because they knew not the time of the visitation. They didn't know it. They didn't understand it. Now, so therefore, the visitation, help, deliverance, God's providential care. They didn't know his care, didn't understand it. So therefore, and we read in Matthew 23:37, how often would I have gathered the children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings? And you said these things, right? But they didn't hear. They didn't catch it. Now God, I want to understand. They're going to crucify you. Uh-huh. That's what they're going to do. They don't know any better. They're going to do it. If they knew, but they don't know. They don't know. They don't care. As long as it gets rid of the problem. Hopefully, crucifixion outside the city, we get rid of the problem. Get rid of the problem. Now, but in the process, here we are looking. So God, help us. Help us. I want to see. I want to get something. It isn't a good thing. What happened before the crucifixion, the entrance, everything was left where they didn't believe and didn't exercise it. Now, over if I can, please, Deuteronomy in chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, picking up now, I'm going to pick up the thought so you see it. What was God trying to remind them of under his wings? If you just had received me, if you just knew what I would have done, I would have exchanged your weakness for strength. I would have done everything, but you didn't do it. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now picking up, please, in verse 10. I'll read verse 9. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is his lot, is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Remember, the apple is that little black thing in the middle. That's what you see through. That's the little apple, the eye. The apple, the little mind hidden. I say you can't see him. Now, hidden. The apple of his eye. That's what you see through. The apple. Ah. God said, hang on. The end of verse 10. He kept him as the apple of God's eye. Now, is the apple of your eye very, you don't mess around when it comes to your eye. You don't mess around. No, sir. No, sir. You protect your eye. You protect your eye. God said Israel was like the apple of his eye. Not only that, verse 11, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. God did a wonderful thing. God did. For Israel, he did a wonderful thing, and he kept them. And that's how they started out. It was a wonderful thing if they would just keep doing it. But they didn't do it. Over, if I can, to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth and chapter 2. And you will note, chapter 2, here's Ruth, a Moabite, and Boaz is looking at her. She's been brought to the Jerusalem, to the city, Jerusalem, etc., into the land. And by way of Ruth, and she's brought there. And so here she is. Now, and Boaz looks at her, the Moabite. Remember, her husband has died and all of that. Chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 12. And the Lord recompense thy work, because she was going to honor her mother-in-law. And I will reward, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What could Boaz say? You're looking to God, you're seeking to honor God, you're a Moabite. But if you seek to honor God, God will bless you as we under his wings. He will bless you. Wow. Hang on. Here's David. David, over if I can. Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, 17 better. Psalm 17, picking up if I may. David, is directly in the light of the of verse 7. Show thy marvelous kindness, O Lord, that saveth by the right hand, by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, for thou shalt rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. I want you to keep me like the eye, and I want you to put me under your wings. Ah, Israel, oh, that they would have heard my name. Oh, that they would have trusted me. They didn't want to do it. Keep going. Over if I can. In the Psalm, David, Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Again. Let it get to us. Verse 19. 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God, can you take care of us as we travel through time? Yes. Israel is not believing. They're missing out. David, Ruth isn't going to miss out. Naomi isn't going to miss out, I should say. Ruth isn't going to miss out. Ruth, Naomi, all of them, they aren't going to miss out. Chapter 32, Psalm 32. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The word compass is to surround like the enemy. To encompass me, surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Therefore, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, I don't want you to fight me. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe. I don't want to have to twist your arm to get you to pay attention. I would like you just to believe me and do it. That's all. Simply do it. That's all. But they aren't going to do that. We call evil good and good evil. Darkness light and light darkness. We aren't going to do that. Now, sliding along if I can, in sliding down to verse 11. Be glad in the Lord. I'd read verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass. There's the same verb as down in verse 7. To surround, to keep surrounding. That mercy, not only his songs of deliverance are going to surround me, but mercy is going to surround me in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, go with me, please, over in the light of all of that. God, what are you going to do? God is going to go, and he must go to Jerusalem in his saving grace. He has to go and do that. It is required. God must do that. And the Lord is going to say, you might as well do it. Matthew and chapter 16. Our Lord on his way to the cross makes it very, very, very clear that it has to be done. And therefore, chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show how unto his disciples, how that he must compulsory go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's going to do it. And he says, remember the Lord in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he prayed. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, they had to go. But they are missing out on all of it. They just don't have it. Don't have it at all. They should, but they don't. Now, having said that, over if I can, two ways. First, over to Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81 will lead us nicely. And you will note, here's Israel. What of all the different from the whole books of the Old Testament, Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Israel. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Under my wings you'll have protection, but I want you to just understand my visitation, you rejected it. I would have been to bring you all that you needed. All you had to do was open your mouth. You couldn't give an answer. You couldn't fix anything. You couldn't change the Pharisees. Couldn't change the Essenes. You couldn't change the scribes. You couldn't change Rome. You couldn't change Herod. But you can certainly open your mouth and let God take care. But you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. They didn't do it. Verse 11, for my people would not hearken unto my voice, and to Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened, think like you read, and oh, that there was such a heart in them. Oh, that there were my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. I would have taken care of them, but they didn't want it. I would have, verse 16, he would have fed them with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. I would have satisfied you. I wouldn't have given you a prison ministry meal. I would have given you a wonderful, wonderful banquet. I would have taken care of you. And the most one, all you had to do is open your mouth. They wouldn't do it. You can understand why he wept heavily, why he wept. He sobbed. That's such a stupid thing. I'm going to go across and die. Not my will, but your will, God, to save these people. And they don't want to be saved. They don't even want to take one drop of blessing that I would give them. They're rejecting it. Crucify him. Crucify him. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Colossians. In the book of Colossians, and in chapter 3, now, Israel rejected crucified Lord. Israel didn't want to have one awesome benefit of Christ going to the cross. Nothing. Nothing. They saw another solution, another way, but not God's way. They didn't see any solution. So therefore, now God, they're going to do in unbelief, they're going to crucify you. Now God, what are you going to do in the light? You're going to do something wonderful. It'll all come together. Wednesday, Sunday, come together. But this is put it in there. Wow, what have we got? God, what are you going to do? I'm going to show what they never knew. I'm going to go to the cross and they crucified me. And because of my crucifixion, I'm going to make possible all the wonderful things I would have done. I'm going to take a whosoever. I'm going to take them in grace. All they need to do is be a whosoever that believes. That's all. I'm going to take that whosoever that is believing, and I'm going to do something. Israel never saw it. I am going to enter their life and be their life. I am going to be their life. And I am going to go and be to them all that Israel should have known. But they didn't. They didn't know. They didn't want to believe. And I'm going to take them and save them. A, save them. What do you mean, save them? Well, here we are. What are we doing? All we did is believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we are a whosoever that believes. Colossians chapter 3. Where are we hid? Verse 3. 3, 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ where? In God. God has answered it. He reckoned you dead. You didn't have much to say about it, did you? When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believed that he took your place on the cross? You did. Maybe. That's how you get saved. You got saved that way. And what happened? God did it. What did you do after that? You didn't try to die. No, you didn't have to die. No, what you did is receive him. And God gave to you in your little heart and my little heart, the believing heart, God gave his wonderful, wonderful person and his wonderful, wonderful benefits of all that he's done on Calvary's cross. He brought them smack dab into your heart. That's what he did to give you. He's going to show that. That's what he's doing now. Israel said, we receive, we refuse his entrance, we're going to crucify him. God, what are you doing? I'm going to show. That's what you're doing when you get saved. When you get saved, God took you, and if you're really saved, you have to be saved, receive him as your Savior. If that's true, then God did a wonderful thing and has done it. And you're there, and all the angels look, and they look at you, the bad guys and the good guys, and that one's saved and that one's saved. They know it's who's saved. They know where Christ is. They know where Christ is. They also know where he isn't. They also know where he isn't. He knows. And we don't do anything. No. But at least God is showing that grace to a world that refuses to let him be God. Wow. Hang on. Now, having said that, and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That's what it's going to be. Now, God, you're going to do that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. You're going to do that. How so? Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, that's what, we're with the glory of God. Over to chapter 1, or over to chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us? The prayer. What's the prayer? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God, that's what you did in a most wonderful way. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. All you did is receive him. And the world has to look, and you have to be saved because he saved you. That's why you have to be saved. Period. And the world can't do a thing about it. And the Jews, no one can do a thing about it. God just saves you in his most wonderful way. Now, you're to what? Exercise. Now, wake up and understand. I want to show the world what? What they refuse to do back then. I want you to be in the place, being a new creature in Christ. I want you to be under my wings. I want to take care of you. I want to be your God and your Savior in a most wonderful way. I want to do all of this for you. I want to be your God. Like in Corinthians, I will be a father unto you. A father. I'll not be a dictator. I'm not a lover. I'm going to be a father. I'm going to be a father to you. Now, trust me, the world wouldn't. Jews didn't. That's the whole message to start us. And you know where it's going to end up? Wonderfully so. If we walk in the light, remember what we're doing in 1 John? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to what? Cleanse us from all sin. We're demonstrating his entrance, his execution, his exaltation. That's what we're doing. God's doing it. Wow. Under his wings. Under his wing. And you will love, think of eagle. Deuteronomy again. I'm going to tell you, remember the eagle? We did all those things. Here's the eagle. And the little eagles, eaglets, or whatever you call them. Oh, there is, who wants to jump off the edge of a cliff and fly? I mean, I got little things, but I don't know they work. And so the mother eagle takes them on her wings and flips out into the space, And the little eagle says, oh, what a wonderful ride. What a wonderful ride. And then the mother says, now watch. She dumps the little eagle into the air. And the little eagle says, wow. And the little eagle what? Flaps its wings and it flies. It was couldn't had to be pushed into the place where it would exercise. Are you God or aren't you? And you sometime have to be pushed into the place where we wake up that God's able to do exceeding abundant above all the way as we think, according to his wonderful power in us. No. The entrance, they knew him not. Bad news. Good news for us. Good news for us.